Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take for August 23rd, 2026. I'm your host, Blois Olson, and we are, you know, a week and a half after the primary, a few days before the state fair, and it is a gorgeous weekend. I hope you enjoy this with some coffee outside this Sunday morning. It's just great, great weather this weekend. This is why we live here. You know, after Farm Fest and the primary, I feel like this week was a little bit the lull before the storm of the state fair. And so just as you make your plans for the state fair, I'll be there both Sundays, 9 a.m. Next Sunday, we will have Eric Escala, legend of WCCO radio, a man who I owe so much to, now host of TPT Almanac. He and John McCormick will be on the porch, and we will discuss kind of how we see this primary, how Minnesota fits in the national landscape from John McCormick. McCormick of the Wall Street Journal, friend of the show, longtime state fair aficionado, not to mention Minnesota native, but he covers politics for the Wall Street Journal, and he'll be in town. And then we'll have Eric there kind of looking at what to watch, what he's hearing, and is there a governor's race this governor's race looks like? Is there a Senate race this Senate race looks like? You know, this past week, I think the big shock was Governor Tim Walz's executive order shutting down mining in the Rainy River watershed adjacent to the Boundary Waters. I want to be clear that, you know, the executive order and Walz's intention and activists from Save the Boundary Waters and other places, they talk about no non-ferrous mining in the Boundary Waters, but this is not in the Boundary Waters. It is adjacent to the Boundary Waters. It is, parts of it are part of the same watershed. And the idea that Governor Walz did this as he gets ready to leave office, that this executive order expires just after he leaves office, suggests that it's going to be not just a legal battle, not just a political battle, but it really was about the headlines. It really was about the statement for Governor Walz. If you missed it, his legacy is something his team is very concerned about. On Thursday, I had a memo internally that his team is encouraging people on letters to the editor, etc. So just be mindful of that as you guys are watching that issue and following it up. One of the most fascinating dynamics over the last 2 years has been the public and populist pushback related to AI, more recently flock cameras. It's rare that issues are that volatile that fast. And I call attention to it because legislators are starting to lean in. In the last session, there was a discussion about license plate readers. It didn't go anywhere. And this next session, there'll certainly be one about license plate readers, collecting data from the public side. One of the key parts of this is that this is not a partisan issue. There are those on the right and those on the left who both feel very strongly. They have libertarian views about what it is that the government should have as far as data on its citizenry. But I am curious about how people feel about privacy and AI. There's no doubt that these license plate readers and flock cameras have become such a hot spot. But Flock, in a CEO interview earlier this week, said they've solved over 1 million crimes. You'll hear that Brad Koepke says they were critical in finding Vance Belter after he assassinated the Hortmans. So how do we regulate the good of technology and the bad? I think that's probably one of the underlying tones of this next legislative session. I think it's no doubt a topic at the door. You'll hear both Republican Mary Franson and Democrat Brad Koepke talk about that. Just how it all has created this fear, anxiousness, and at the end of the day, mistrust of government. Trust in institutions has crashed, but the flock camera debate means that it's crashed further. I want to talk about this. It's going to be the topic of the take. And Axios had a good outlayer on it yesterday in their C-suite newsletter. And so we'll talk about that when we come back. And then we'll talk to Representative Brad Koepke and Representative Mary Franson about how they're looking at these issues and what they expect if they both return to the House for legislation next year. Before we go to the break, we have a message from Compeer Financial. You know, look, as rural communities face economic, social, population shifts, the urgency of renewed investment in our rural communities is very important. It's never been more clear. Compeer is creating a new series called Rooted and Rising. It's a three-part series in 2026 that amplifies the impact of rural leaders when they work together. You see, most people think of rural areas as ag, but the interconnectedness of a rural community between healthcare and ag and education and jobs, not only are the people interconnected and is the work interconnected, but the economy is also interconnected. And so they are going to have this coming together in-person event September 14th through 16th in Owatonna. They're going to have folks like Craig Culver of Culver's. They're going to talk through some of the shared responsibility, how local governments, nonprofits, the business community, healthcare providers, educational communities work side by side to the common goal of rural vitality. They'd love to have you there. They'd love to have you sign up. In order to do that, just go to Compeer, Compeer.com/rural forum. Again, compeer.com/ruralforum to learn more about Rooted and Rising, this event, September 14th through 16th in Owatonna, Minnesota. When we come back, the volatility of Flock AI and the election. We'll cover that when we come back on Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm your host, Blois Olson. We're covering the controversy around emerging technologies in politics this week, specifically on Flock cameras. We'll have Representative Brad Tabke, Representative Mary Franson on in a little bit. But over the last 2 years, I have watched as data centers have become as volatile and hot button of an issue in local communities as any issue I've ever seen in 30 years. The speed at which people are opposing these data centers is huge. We saw our own governor proclaim 2 years ago that Minnesota was going to be a leader in data centers, only to pull back on the data center tax credit and to be less enthusiastic about it. I think Governor Walz is still trying to figure it out, but it might be worth more conversation down the road. A recent Politico poll shows this volatility. In January, 37% of Americans supported building a data center within 3 miles of where they live. 28 opposed. In July, the number of support was 24%, opposition 41%. And so this truly is the political hot potato of the cycle. But the interconnectedness of the data center issue with AI and tech and a lack of trust of tech leaders, from Elon Musk to Mark Zuckerberg to Jeff Bezos. Brad Tabke touches on it in his interview. He talks about tech bros. Well, anytime you call someone a bro, it's got a negative connotation. But the reality is, as Facebook and all these other technologies have emerged, we've trusted them less. Now, you add on AI, you layer in the costs and the fear around that, and it becomes a major issue. And so when you look at data centers amongst Harris voters versus Trump voters, you'll see that there's a shift between January and July of Harris voters of 53% opposed. For Trump voters, support and opposition is growing. So at the beginning of the year, 45% of Trump voters said they supported it. Now that number is only 34 and 33 against, well, 26 was against. And so this really truly is a bipartisan issue. And those non-MAGA voters have the strongest opposition at 40% for Republicans. Really, this is about a libertarian mindset, I believe, that the government shouldn't have the data, but who should? And if these companies are that big, and they are, do we trust them? And that's why there is this Venn diagram of Democrats and Republicans in the middle opposed to this. And so I want to call out a good read from Jim VandeHei this week. And the reality is that we are in an era of data centers. And so even if we don't get data centers built in Minnesota, they will go somewhere else. And let's be clear, the ongoing jobs are not that significant. A few dozen, maybe 50 to 100. And the construction jobs are important. Earlier this week, Jake Johnson, Democrat challenging Brad Vinson in the first, called for a data center moratorium, and he got his hand slapped a little by the pipe fitters. But VandeHei writes that the great subplot of 2026 is anything AI and how the sentiment and what is being spent. Five largest hyperscalers are Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Meta, and Oracle. They are expected to spend $75 billion this year. Earlier this week, John Deere's stock price rose because they say sales are higher due to data center construction. And when you look at the defining issue, it's not just local politics. It's at the federal level. I did a Fox 9 interview earlier this week about a memo the National Republicans put out in Ohio saying, don't talk about data centers. They're toxic. And so Republicans are also blocking and suggesting moratoriums. Mike Rogers, who's running in Michigan, backed a one-year moratorium. Greg Abbott froze all new data centers in Texas. And this is going to have some economic implications if America doesn't build data centers. China will continue to, and the future technology, we'll call it race, will depend on the U.S. having these. So 75 data centers are delayed. And that's about $130 billion of capital sitting on the sidelines in Q1. And so the cost to build a data center is roughly between $2 and $2.4 billion. Most employees at most data centers, 50. But look, if we pull back, they are propping up construction jobs across America. They are driving supplier sales, including nVent here in Minnesota. And so balancing driving the economy, the mistrust of data centers, is putting Minnesota and other states in a little bit of a pickle. But I want to just look at some of the myths. One of the myths is about water. Water is a hugely local issue. It's critical here in Minnesota. And so locally, your water could be impacted if there is some sort of, you know, issue with your watershed. But the reality is that a normal hyperscale large data center uses less water in an annual basis than a golf course. And that's not that big of a deal. And even when you account the data centers use a lot of water to run them, that's not a big deal on a macro level. It's less than 1% of the water used in America. Now let's talk about electricity. First and foremost, in Minnesota, we have a regulated market. And data centers used only 4.4% of U.S. electricity in 2023, expected to be about 12% by 2030. And so energy is shifting to a capacity issue. Here in Minnesota, we have a regulated market. That means that energy rates in Minnesota aren't going to spike. That doesn't mean that people trust utilities, but if you look at Xcel and others, they know that some of the capital deployed to bring power and energy to these data centers can neutralize rates and increase investments for the average electricity consumer. And so you have to look at it in that context. The challenge is the opposition. 71% of Americans have strong or somewhat opposition to data centers. That includes strong opposition from 56% of Democrats, 39% of Republicans, and 48% of independents. Overall, you have 63% of Republicans opposing them in the latest Gallup poll. And you have 72% of independents opposing them as well. And so this populist opposition is something we're going to have to figure out how to navigate. We'll talk about more of that in the take. When we come back, Representative Brad Tabke, you know, he won that close race down in Shakopee. He has not shied away from being a leader and being vocal. His latest issue is flock cameras. He's proposing...
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Legislation, and we'll hear from him when we come right back.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. My first guest is Representative Brad Tabke. He's a Democrat from the Shakopee area, and he and his colleague from the Senate put out a news release Friday about Flock cameras. As I said in the open, the speed at which Flock cameras or license plate readers have become a polarizing bipartisan political issue is another example where business and technology is in response mode to government. And it's a dynamic of 2026 I want to drill down on. Representative Tabke, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, boys. Appreciate it.
So you and your colleague Claire Verboten put out a news release yesterday about Flock. Just give some context of license plate readers, data, how you've thought about this as a state representative and privacy.
Yeah, this is a really big issue that we were trying to tackle during the 2026 session, and it was blocked in Judiciary Committee. And so it is unfortunate that that happened, but we have been looking at this very much from the, through the lens and frame of we need to make sure that we're protecting Minnesotans' private data. So license plate readers like Flock, automated license plate readers, are extremely prevalent, and they have grown significantly over the course of the last 6 months to a year. And nobody really knows exactly why that is happening. And so that is, they are proliferating all over the state of Minnesota, and we need to make sure that people's private data is being protected. And so with your driver's with your license plate, your registration, what kind of vehicle it's attached to, those things are public data. But on the backside, your home address, your name, all those kinds of things are not private data. And those are all, I mean, are not public data. And that private data is not being protected by the state of Minnesota, and people aren't following the laws. And we need to make sure that that's happening.
When you think about that data and protecting it, this is obviously the speed of technology, the speed of databases and collection. Privacy has long been a concern. Is there a role, like where is the government's role there versus you know, as a company, we all opt into technology platforms, right? And we click a box and 99.9% of us never read the terms of service. How do you look at the way they protect themselves versus the way the state should try to protect privacy after they've opted into a platform or something like that?
Yeah, so we have a wildly different ways that different law enforcement and different private entities are protecting people's data. And so there are two sides of this one. There's the public facing side. So how cities and public safety and law enforcement are using flock cameras. When our laws were written in Minnesota 15 years ago, it was a very important thing to the folks who wrote those laws to make sure that we were not having a centralized database so that everybody's information could be found easily and that kind of stuff. And that's what Flock has really recreated inadvertently in our laws. And we need to make sure that we're keeping up with what is happening on the private side of things. And this has been something that we saw coming through Operation Metro Surge and saw that our data was being wildly and inappropriately and illegally used and by the federal government. And so we needed to make sure that we were, that Minnesotans could be positive, that we are doing everything we can to protect that data. And so we're trying to keep up with the changes on things. Government is always lagging, and that's, I think, a feature, not a bug on things. And I think we need to make sure that we are doing what we can to protect that data for folks.
When you talk about Metro Surge, I know you were very active during that time. You said that privacy and cameras have come up on doors as you're door knocking. What's the average citizen say about this? Where's the mindset of the regular citizen in your district on these topics?
Yeah, boys, this has been one of the most fascinating issues, I think, of the campaign cycle. So I'll knock 10,000 doors by the time we get to November, and I'm 3,500 doors in as we sit here today. And it has, especially in the last 2-3 weeks, this has really become one of the top things that people are talking about, and they just flat out are pissed off. People are mad that this is happening in all of our communities, and they feel like they don't have any say as to what's going on. And I think it kind of goes to the larger ecosystem and the larger ethos of things, where we've got these billionaires and tech bro kinds of guys who are just doing their thing, and we've got all these data centers that are popping up and people are fighting back against those. And I think it fits into that larger technology, and people just feel out of control with their lives. Like things are way too expensive. People are suffering on a day-to-day basis, and they are just frustrated. And this is one of those additional layers of things where people are just pissed.
You know, it's interesting that you kind of frame it that way, because as I kind of sit back and watch the moods and of everyday Minnesotans, I'll call it the vilification of technology executives or CEOs or, you know, very wealthy, successful, you know, mega tech guys. The demand for the technology continues to grow, yet the public doesn't trust the people who are building it. How do you measure that? How do you think of that? And where does the kind of, I have some personal, you know, responsibility to maybe not use that platform or something like that. It's a fascinating psychology to me.
Yeah. And that's where this, I think the crux of this comes from, Blois, is that the fact that we as Minnesotans and average everyday people are extremely independent, free thinking types of folks. And we want to make sure that we are able to maintain that. And this crosses that line, I think, is what's happening, is that flock cameras and license plate readers are tracking us wherever we go. And no one has really consented to that. If I have my phone and they are tracking me through my phone, yep, that is the choice that I have made. This is something that's been put upon people. And if I go to a large retail store, I do not know how that data is being used. How is my license plate being used for the pricing that I pay on things? How is that being used? How is that being sold to other people as to how many times I go to a retail store, like those kinds of things? And that is happening on a daily basis. And that's also one thing that people deserve to know and understand and be able to make those choices. Right now, we don't have the ability to do that for ourselves.
When you think about those things, where is the line? Because law enforcement and current law enforcement in Minnesota and the law enforcement have used Flock, and the Flock CEO this week said, they've helped solve 1 million crimes through Flock cameras in the last year. Is it not using it, or is it making sure that it has boundaries to it for law enforcement only locally? And at what point does the federal government get to have surveillance because of national security issues?
Yeah, so there's a lot of nuance in here that is really difficult to convey, obviously, a lot of times. So I'm glad that we're talking about it. So the way I look at it is this year, I and Senator Umer Verbaeten introduced two bills about specifically automated license plate readers. And so with that, the first bill was a complete and total ban, 100% in the state of Minnesota. And that is not what at least I wanted to accomplish. And I don't believe it's what, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I don't think what she wants to accomplish either. But we had the second bill, which was handling private data and making sure a good example is the Ridley Police Department. They had hundreds of thousands of hits within a month, a 6 week period that they were disseminating to anybody and everybody who wanted to see who was driving in Fridley and had gotten pinged by their cameras. So it was just a wide open system that anybody could access. The city of Shakopee and our police department here, we have required that warrants are available and you have to have a warrant in order to access that data. If you are a local PD, so our adjacent PDs, you can access the data. But anybody outside of that has to have a warrant in order to get that. And so I believe that our private data should be protected and make sure that there is someone who's actually making those decisions, because people during Operation Metro Surge were being stalked at their homes and those kinds of things. And in our current state law, you need to have some sort of investigative purpose in order to be using and having access to that data. And there just was none for, as we talk about the Lutheran church where people were having a meeting, and during Puppet Master, Operation Puppet Master by the federal government, they were just going through and tagging license plates and adding, grandmas and people who just cared about their community to a federal database. And that is not okay. They shouldn't have access. People should be able to trust that Minnesota is protecting people's private data, and that they should be able to have that confidence that we're doing everything we can to protect that. And right now, it's just not happening.
My guest is Representative Brad Tabke. As we wrap up here, Representative Tabke, what I heard from you is that if the local police department, per se, in Shakopee is protecting the data versus the police department in Fridley isn't, that's one of the pieces that the legislature could require Minnesota police departments to comply with in a new law, and that then there is actually a legal process to get the data. So it's not that, because the mentality of the pack is just ban it, tear them down, rip them out. You're saying there can be a balance to help law enforcement and make sure that there is a process that is followed?
Yeah, I think that there absolutely should be a balance. And so a good example of this is when Mark and Melissa Hortman were murdered, automated license plate reader cameras were very useful in finding where their assassin was. And so that is a really important thing I think it is an important tool that we have access to. And that being said, if we cannot protect people's private data, we shouldn't have access to it. And so we need to make sure that we are doing that work. And I am working on that with Senator Umer Verbaeten, and I've gotten contacted by many Republicans who want to work on this now that it has become a big issue. I really wish that they hadn't blocked it in committee this spring, and we'd have a very different conversation happening right now in Minnesota. And so I am looking forward to continuing that work, you know, if I get reelected this fall.
It is a bipartisan issue. Data privacy has been a bipartisan issue for the decades that I've been following it. And I anticipate it will be one of those louder issues in the upcoming session regardless. Representative Tapke, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Blaise.
When we come back, Representative Mary Franson, she posted on Facebook about what she should ask her city about flock cameras. We'll learn more when we come right back. We're back on Sunday Take. My guest now is Representative Mary Franson. As we've talked about, the topic is privacy, flock cameras. Representative Franson, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You posted yesterday kind of looking for some feedback from your community on flock cameras and what the issues are. Where have you seen this issue pop up recently? Because it's an issue that's kind of emerged pretty quickly.
Yeah, so we have flock cameras in the city of Alexandria. I think we have six cameras around town, and the citizens themselves, the constituents I represent on both sides of the aisle, have major concerns about that, with Big Brother watching their every move. And that was actually a big topic of concern when I was at the county fair yesterday. I had people stop me to talk to me about the flock cameras. And as their representative, I feel like obviously it's important for me to listen to their issues, and seeing that other counties or cities around Minnesota are now withdrawing their contracts with Flock, I'm gauging the appetite with the city, with the citizens of Douglas County, Stearns, and Pope.
When you think about this, data privacy is obviously a major issue that government and legislators deal with. But law enforcement and Flock will tell you that they've been helpful in solving crimes. Is there a balance? Is it an all or nothing attitude? What did you hear from people at the fair?
That they just feel that they are being tracked without any crimes being committed, that they're just being put into a big database for a possibility. And the ACLU itself has said that fewer than 1% of scan plates are linked to wrongdoing.
Do you think there is a role to scan plates? Do you think it should just be banned? Where do you think the public is, and where do you think the government should be?
Well, first off, let's go back to, can we actually trust our government to keep our data safe? And we can't even trust the state of Minnesota to keep our tax dollars safe. So what is it to say that the data that is being collected by the flock cameras can't be used for nefarious reasons elsewhere?
Well, that is a big question. And that is a question that is part of this election cycle, is trust, and trust in institutions from government to business. You live in an area, and you represent an area that's probably a little more libertarian, but this is a bipartisan issue. Representative Tabke said this is, you know, clearly a bipartisan issue in the last interview. How do you look at balance? What do you think the people will accept? Or does it need to be kind of broken down and rebuilt to rebuild trust, whether it's fiscal issues or privacy issues, et cetera?
Well, let's go back. One of the topics that comes up is, what about a missing child? We hear that all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, and we all want missing children to be found, but the argument assumes that the only way to do that is by scanning and storing the movements of all innocent people. And we already have Amber Alerts. We have hot lists, interagency cooperation. We turn every road into a data collection network is just a much bigger step, and that concerns people. You know, that creates real privacy harms, and it has already been used in a way that violates the spirit of our own state law. When we have officers, and I'm not speaking particularly to anyone, but this is a general conversation that's been taking place, because it has happened, is mm-hmm. that officers have stalked previous relationships using these cameras. And that does not create us, you know, the public to have a sense of safety when that's around as well. And we all care deeply about finding missing children, but I want tools that actually work and that the public can trust. And right now, the public has eroded trust in our government.
This raises the question of kind of that we've dealt with here in Minnesota for several years, but certainly the last six, is this balance of supporting law enforcement versus not supporting law enforcement. And whether it's looking up driver's license information or driver's, you know, license mm-hmm. plate information, there have been outlying cases. Is this a place where maybe it's the penalties for those issues that need to be looked at rather than just taking away the tool? Or how does this get discussed in the next legislature?
I think that's going to be really interesting. First, we're going to have to see what that legislature makeup looks like, right?
Yep.
The original framework of the license plate reader took place in 2015 under Mark Dayton. I was one of the handful that voted no on that based on the privacy concerns that I had. And, you know, we're looking at innocent people, lack of warrants, data that outlives local control, documented abuse, and error rates that put ordinary drivers at risk. And those are the issues that we're going to have to address.
Will you have your own bill, or will you talk to Democrats about putting in a bill together?
I think it's going to be a cohort of a bunch of lawmakers coming together with their own ideas. I don't see anybody saying, this is my bill. I think we all have ideas that we can put forward.
My guest is Mary Frenchen. She's a state rep from Alexandria area. Have you talked to local law enforcement or the city right now? Where is their mindset on this?
Well, obviously the city's mindset is flock cameras are a tool in the toolbox. But that's why I'm taking the information that I can get from the citizens I represent to bring forward to the city.
What are you hearing, not just at the fair, but when you're door knocking? What are the other issues Minnesotans are talking about this fall?
Fraud. A lot of fraud.
Got it. And what
do they
want done?
Topic. Well, they want to see their tax dollars staying in Minnesota. I've actually talked to a lot of people too that are like, I am done paying taxes. I am selling my house and I am moving. And that happens every election, but this time it seems like it's a little bit more than usual right now. I think what people are waiting for is after the election to see if there is a change in governorship and a change in leadership. Because if they don't see that, then they're thinking that the issue is just going to stay the same.
Are people more engaged or less engaged this cycle as you're out door knocking than, you know, 4 years ago?
I would say more engaged. I think the fraud has really mobilized people to pay attention to what's going on. You know, even when it comes to property taxes are going to be due in what, a month and a half or so. And there's like, why am I paying property taxes to pay for our government when our government can't live within its means to just use property taxes? You know, all the bills that we put forward and passed on to county is now going to the property taxes. And there's a lot of people that just disagree with that.
Any chatter about data centers, development, overall other big tech issues when you're out and about?
Yep, data centers is another thing that has come up at the fair. And there's, you know, I think there's a lot of, when it comes to data centers, because it's so nuanced, right? One of the concerns is why we have the cloud that seemed to be working. Why does AI need data centers? That just doesn't make sense to them.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining me on the Sunday Take, and we'll talk down the line.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
When we come back, this week's take.
We are back.
This week's take is about this lens of fear I've talked about. From Metro Surge to AI, there is a lens of fear that voters and citizens are looking at this election. It worries me. I've never thought that one leads from a place of fear with strength. It's just a philosophy I've had. And if
candidates are appealing to the fear factor. They're not thinking about progress. They're not thinking about the future. They're not laying out a vision for the future, which, of course, is critical in this governor's race. The speed at which people have started to rip out, cities have been called on to cancel their Flock camera contracts, is concerning. Look, for a long time, consumers have wanted corporations to be responsible. Corporations have wanted to be responsible. They've wanted to build trust. But government has to do the same thing. The idea that different municipalities have different rules about Flock camera data doesn't make sense, especially when you understand the local nature of managing data. So legislation probably is needed to protect people's data. But let's stop with vandalism and tearing out technology as we go forward. Because after all,
your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
At some point, public safety has to be a priority. And if Flock cameras help with public safety, which by all signs they do, to what end do we need to ban them, destroy them, or pull them out? You don't think the government doesn't have other ways to look at you? You don't think that there's other private cameras tracking you all the time? They are. And so as you go through the next few months of this campaign, don't look at it with a fear lens. Look at it from a hope lens. What do you hope we get back to as normal rather than this volatile chaos we've been in 6 years? And as we look at what it would take to build AI data centers, to look what it would take to trust the government's flock cameras, lay that out. That way we have solutions that solve problems rather than just complainers. Again, we'll be at the fair next Sunday, 9 a.m. with Eric Escala and John McCormick. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday at 6:20. You can always find our work at thedailyagenda.com. Sign up there, please. Come see me at the fair. Until then, that's the take.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.